So it's a UN summit. It's the third annual UN summit on business for peace, held in Dubai. So it's mainly a group of policymakers, UN and other people. But I'm going there as an academic to ask them nasty, difficult questions that unpack some of the broad sort of policy rhetoric when they talk about business and peace in the same sentence.
All right. So what nasty questions and line of thinking are you going to throw at them, Joe?
Well, to some extent, you could see that the UN system as having just discovered the private sector as a stakeholder in peace. So in all my PhD work, for example, UN peace builders and peacekeepers around the world neglected to ask business people what they thought of various ideas for post-conflict reconstruction and recovery, and when we're focused on sort of NGOs and civil society and elections and those sorts of things. And so we've moved from that state of kind of neglect to, in the last few years, at least at the UN level, sort of championing business as the leader of all the development agenda and the deliverer of the development agenda, to some extent in a way that I think abdicates the responsibility of governments and policymakers to lead. So there's been this kind of shift from a neglect of business as a stakeholder in peace and fragility and post-conflict peace building to seeing the solutions as all coming from the private sector. And somewhere in between that neglect and that panacea vision, there are some important contributions that business can make, but the private sector lacks the legitimacy and the public legitimacy that peace building organizations have. And so there's some questions still to be asked.
In many peace building situations, whilst the conflict is ostensibly, we hope, finished, it's still a fairly difficult environment in both the way the environment is left after whatever the conflict has been, and there aren't business rules and business infrastructure and whatever else. Only certain businesses would want to go and play in that space, even if there's a commercial outcome for them. It's not the kind of area every business wants to play, is it?
That's right. I mean, that's one of the policy challenges, I guess, is that in these sorts of places, they're very risky, or they're at least perceived to be risky because of the legacy of conflict. And one of the policy challenges is how do you attract good businesses to risky places? Because there are some businesses who will go there regardless, depending on their appetite for risk and so on. But how do you, as policymakers, attract the right kinds of business that are amenable to pressure on issues like adopting conflict-sensitive business practices, addressing their social impact, being aware of the conflict fault lines around especially natural resources use and land and those sorts of issues?
Do we have any recent case studies or comparisons that prove that altruistic or well-intentioned businesses can be just as successful in these situations as those that are probably driven more by profit, Joe?
I mean, there's a lot of mixed practice, I guess, because one of the assumptions that people at this summit, I expect, will have is the assumption that in the post-conflict situation, recovering situation, it's true that people are after a sort of tangible evidence of the benefits of a peace deal. Say the peace deal was controversial in the first place. And so they're after a dividend, an economic dividend of peace. And one of the assumptions is, well, the more investment and the more job creation that one can bring, the more peace one will build. But we have to question that assumption, because sometimes it's the very act of new investment coming into an area after a period of time, which is itself a trigger for further instability. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, ostensibly, the idea is a very appealing one, that if you can, especially for young demobilized men, for example, if you can create quick jobs and show that tangible peace dividend, then that will help to consolidate the peace deal. And as they say, in some parts of Africa, people want to be able to eat the peace. They want something quite tangible in the aftermath of the sort of high-level talks and so on.
If there is a conflict and it's resolved in some way, and perhaps the processes of government and democracy have broken down, can you have the business for peace happening without the reinstatement of those normal structures of society?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the challenge, is that you're trying to attract early entrants who are, as I said, responsible businesses, but the institutional framework that will reassure them and reassure their investors and their insurers and so on is often not there. That's why one of the policy challenges is to find ways of encouraging, through risk guarantees or subsidized finance or whatever, to encourage firms that are prepared to invest in these sorts of places. And there are many examples in West Africa, for example, after all the conflict, you know, the blood diamond sort of Sierra Leone and Liberia conflict, of firms that were encouraged to enter where they otherwise might not have by these kinds of policy interventions. But I like to think of the business for peace question in a sort of political context, because peace building is a highly political process. And what will happen at a summit like this, I anticipate, is the idea that, well, the politics of peace building is done by governments and so on. And then the economics of peace building, that's where we bring in the private sector. But the private sector is itself can be a very, very political actor. So I've recently come back from Colombia, where they, you may know, they signed a peace deal with the left-wing FARC rebels after nearly 50 years of conflict. And there it's artificial to see politicians on one side and business over here, and all you have to do is bring business in and engage them in the process of peace building, because the business elite is highly has been highly involved in a lot of the conflict dynamics, not necessarily in a complicit way, but just because after 50 years, they're, especially in the rural areas, they're drawn in all sorts of complicated ways. So what I suppose I'll be doing in Dubai is encouraging a bit more of a nuanced view of business for peace and business involvement in peace building, acknowledging that often there are long legacies of especially in natural resources, in agriculture and large-scale agriculture, long legacies that feed into the, might have fed into the conflict dynamic in terms of land use and land access. And these legacies don't just go away overnight. Mm. So to say that you're engaging business in the now positive post-conflict peace-building period is all very well and good, and they're an important social stakeholder, but there are often difficult questions about those legacies.